The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Okay, Tov, Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov.
Howard, I'm going to take a bit of license here because Liverpool have won the league, and I have been a Liverpool supporter since the days of Brucey Grobbelaar, when he won multiple titles and FA Cups and European titles with Liverpool. So it's been a long, dry spell.
Yes.
And I just have to make mention of this fact. I know we've got a lot of new Johnny-come-lately Liverpool supporters who are all welcome, of course. But for some of the old timers, it's been a long, dry spell. But I wanted to try and make it a little bit connected in a way. And I'm not trying to outdo Louis Karpis here. But I just wondered if listeners knew who the three Israeli players were.
Ooh.
Who played for Liverpool Football Club.
So wait, Louis, let's wrap up his question. Louis Karpis' sports question was who owns Liverpool? Michael C. says Fenway Sports Group. Fenway own Liverpool. That's Levy says that they also own the Boston Red Sox. Sienna McKenzie and Jackson say Fenway, so does Karen. So yes, that is absolutely correct. Now we want to know on 34519, do you know the three Israeli players, Liverpool players? Wow.
Yeah, who have played over the years.
Not over the years. That's why I was surprised.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there were three. Yeah. Okay,
not currently, no. Over the years, three different Israelis, each at a different period of time. Actually, one of them even winning the league title with Liverpool. Three Israeli players who played for Liverpool, yeah.
All right, that's a great question. So send us your answers, 34519 or 061-895-1019. All right, let's talk about Israel's Corona cabinet.
Yeah, Corona.
Yeah.
The Corona cabinet met yesterday with the now kind of confirmed fact that we really are into a second wave of COVID-19 infections. There was an expectation that there would be some more serious decisions coming out of the Corona cabinet yesterday. And in fact, there weren't. There was nothing new coming out of yesterday's meeting, but apparently there will be another meeting of the Corona cabinet today. And Israelis are genuinely expecting, not hoping for, but expecting that there will be some decision coming out of there about potentially increasing the restrictions that we currently experience. There is so much indecision, and I think this indecision reflects the lack of agreement that we have between various elements of government about staying open versus, you know, pulling things in and shutting down. The problem that we're having now is that it's even difficult to trace the source of the infections. People become infected. People are unable to even identify where the infection might have taken place. And the moment you lose track of what the flow of the infection is and where people have become infected, there is a sense of somehow losing control. And certainly those are the words that came out of one of the chief medical officers in Israel, saying that, you know, he fears that we may well be losing control of the situation because of the fact that we just can't trace where people are being infected. Having said that, the health minister, Yuli Edelstein, seems to be quite intent upon pulling things in a little bit. The truth of the matter is that people are not adhering to the rules. And even though there has been greater enforcement, lots of fines issued for people not wearing masks, all that kind of stuff, it's really impossible to police each and every person to make sure that they do as they should do. And there has also been a decision taken by the government to extend unemployment benefits for those people who have become unemployed as a result of Corona. Israel's unemployment benefits only are limited to a few months after the date of the unemployment, and now those benefits have been extended. So this is just a recognition that our economy has really been severely impacted by Corona. And having said that, you know, Israel's got an economy where people can, by and large, in very, very high proportions, work from home. So one would have thought that out of all economies in the world, the Israeli economy would be the one that could potentially withstand such a situation better than other economies, because people continuing to work. The problem is, of course, that even the work that they're doing might not continue because of the impact of corona elsewhere. So even though you can carry on your work, the question is whether there is enough work coming in. To justify the efforts. So a very, very concerning situation with this increase in the number of people who have been infected. You know, there doesn't seem to be an end to it. I think people are sort of losing hope that we could get over it and move on into a brave new world. But I think that we are certainly going to see new restrictions being imposed after today's meeting. We'll have a chance to talk about them hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's what's quite disheartening is that Israel was doing so well with this. It almost seemed like it was over, and now it's kind of going back. Same with the United States.
Right. Yeah, and I think this is a very strong message, though, Howard, that the first wave is not the only wave. I think we're now getting – I mean, it feels as if that we might be at the very forefront now of – experiencing what comes next after the lockdown and after the opening up again. And I think that if our experience is anything to judge by, then this is not only over for a long time, that we're going to continue to see waves coming and going, and people need to just amend and adjust the way that they're behaving, because otherwise this could be a very, very serious and long-term issue. So I'm not sure you know, what the answer is. Unfortunately, people are now saying, well, it's more damaging to close down the economy than it is to suffer the deaths and the illness that comes with the COVID-19 virus. But we obviously first and foremost wish to save lives. That's, you know, the main objective. That certainly reflects Jewish values. And I think that also reflects the values of Israelis in general. So there is obviously a huge dilemma about what to do next.
In other stories, hundreds of activists took part in the gay pride events yesterday. So why are they taking place now?
Well, it's sort of gay pride season, you know, Israel very often,
yeah, it is
not
pride
every
month,
often, every year has this whole gay pride week where they have these massive events in Tel Aviv, gay pride parades. People come from all over the world. You know, Tel Aviv is considered to be one of the most gay friendly cities, not in Israel, but around the world in general. It was regarded as the number one travel destination, for people, for gay people to come along and to be able to express themselves and to experience all that Tel Aviv has to offer. And of course, this year, no gay pride parade, no gay pride week, none of that, because of COVID-19. And so there have been these events. Local people have come out just to do something instead of the usual gay pride events that take place. And yesterday was the day. It's always a lot more controversial in Jerusalem than it is in Tel Aviv. The Jerusalem pride events have been on the increase in recent years, but while they've also seemed to have more support from people who feel that, you know, a gay pride is something which can be expressed in Jerusalem, whereas previously it was something that was very difficult to express, there are also those who've come out opposing it, and there were a lot of activists who were against the gay pride movement in evidence yesterday. There were 27 people who were arrested. Some people were even arrested before the events took place in order to try to prevent any confrontations from taking place. And in fact, the High Court did rule that the police were being forced to release somebody from the Lahava organization, which is an organization that has really made one of its most important activities to oppose these gay pride events. The court ruled that this individual should be released from custody because there was no evidence, that police could bring no evidence that he was going to do anything or cause any disruption. Having said that, the organization itself was clearly intent upon disrupting any of the gay pride events, but they did take place yesterday, much, much lower key, both in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And I think that we are certainly going to see these events taking place with a lot more support than has been the case in the past.
But obviously there must be a fair amount of concern around safety and you know, all of these issues as well. It's got to be a bit worrisome. Israel experienced rocket fire over the weekend from Gaza, and there were further reports of explosions in Syria.
So yeah, so it's kind of more of the same over the weekend, really. I mean, we had two rockets that were fired from Gaza. Fortunately, they didn't cause any damage. They didn't cause any injuries. The IDF was in action in retaliation against the rockets. The Hamas organization said that these rockets were really an anti-annexation event. They were trying to show that they were opposing the whole prospect of annexation. The annexation talk continues to flow quite freely, and this was Hamas apparently expressing their opposition to annexation. And then, of course, further reports of rocket fire in Syria, as usual, further attacks in Syria against Iranian-based militia targets. It's just more of the same, really, and I think that this is going to become an ongoing issue. I don't think that we're going to be able to escape from this anytime soon. So we just, you know, keep an eye on it, but it almost doesn't make any news any longer because it's becoming just such a regular event.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly seems that way. And finally, Israeli fashion chain Fox has run into public criticism after they declared the payment of dividends to their shareholders.
So yeah, this was a very, very controversial issue because Fox was one of those chains that was forced to close down during the shutdown period and claimed a lot of money, something like $3 to $4 million that they claimed from government in order because they were entitled to claim this money. The government tried to encourage people to re-employ, tried to encourage businesses to re-employ people who had been sent home during the corona shutdown. And Fox was one of those chains that managed to claim quite a lot of money from the government coffers in order to re-employ people who'd been sent home without pay during corona. So they claimed, some are saying 4 million, some are saying even as much as 5 million in government aid in order to re-employ people. And then, lo and behold, they issue a dividend to shareholders in the sum of $14 million. So that obviously went down like a lead balloon. And people are saying, why are the shareholders receiving money that's being given to them by the government in order to re-employ people who'd been sent home without pay? So very quickly, the Fox owners managed to somehow come to the rescue of the situation by saying that they will forfeit the government aid that had been granted to them. They will not claim the government aid. They're claiming that the reopening has been so successful, outstripped their expectations, that they're in a situation now where they're able to issue this dividend in the sum of almost $14 million. So a very, very bad decision by the Fox chain. Their public appreciation has gone down quite significantly. But they have decided to give back the government money at least. So, I suppose that people will accept that and move on. But that has certainly been one of the most controversial things that has happened since the government decided to give money to people in order to try to encourage the economy to get back on its feet again.
Fascinating indeed. All right. So before we go, we need to wrap up your sports question this morning. And you wanted to know, give us the question again.
Who are the three Israeli players who have played for Liverpool Football Club over the years?
All right, let's take a look at some of the answers. Colin says he can only remember Yossi Ben Ayun. Michael C. says, wasn't it Avi Cohen, Ronnie Rosenthal, and Yossi Ben Ayun? M says Moti Chaim and Moshe. Karen says Yossi Shai Ben Nun is one, maybe Avi Cohen. All right, what are the answers?
So someone got it right. I think it was Michael. Avi Cohen was the very first one. Mm-hmm. The second one was Ronnie Rosenthal, who actually won a league title with Liverpool. And of course, Yossi Ben Ayun played almost 100 matches for Liverpool Football Club. And one of the most moving events that I saw at Anfield was when Avi Cohen died back in 2010. And at Anfield, they granted him a minute's applause by the crowd to mark a former Liverpool player who passed away. His family were there in attendance at the game. The crowd stood up and they applauded for a minute with the players in the middle. It was one of the most moving events that I've watched. And I watch all of Liverpool's games. So that was really moving for me and wonderful to watch. So yeah, Avi Cohen, Ronnie Rosenthal, and Yossi Ben Ayun were the three.
Absolutely amazing.